Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Wednesday. Every Wednesday at this time, we talk to John McClain. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. He's brought to you by 12 Stones Crossing Golf Club in Goodlettsville. Visit 12stonesgolfclub.com to book your tee time. Experience golf the 12 Stones way. John, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We are fantastic. So just kind of looking through the 25 modern era semifinalists that just came out for the Hall of Fame. There's a name that I mean, it's going to be a discussion because of the position that he played, but Adam Vinatieri is a surefire Hall of Famer. Is he not? I mean, I feel like he should be.
Well, I'm voting for him, and I'm going to vote for him all the way as long as he's in there, because his role in the Patriots dynasty, they won their first three Super Bowls by 3 points, and he won two of them. And in that Chuck game in which he kicked in the snow, tying and winning field goals, was as good a performance as I've ever seen by a kicker. And it's interesting because when he left New England because he was making too much money, he was smart enough to go to Indianapolis so he could kick indoors. And when I'm voting for kickers, the guys that kick indoors compared to the guys who kick in outdoors, especially in the Northeast, that to me is much more difficult and much more impressive. So I'll be stunned if he doesn't make it on the first ballot, the first kicker in history. I wasn't on the committee when John Stenner went in the 70s or whenever it was, and I don't know if he made it on the first ballot. He certainly should have. I don't think I would have voted him into the Hall of Fame, but to me, Vinatieri is a no-brainer.
I think the one that, and I'd be curious of your thoughts, actually, you know, being a voter, but Eli Manning gets a little bit of discussion because I think he's a Hall of Famer, but there's some that are saying that he's a Hall of very, very good. Kind of, where are you on that?
Well, it's interesting because Eli made big plays in Super Bowls, but if you look at his body of work over regular seasons, as far as all pros, winning records and all that, it doesn't match up. But I don't think he's a first ballot. To me, first ballot Hall of Famers, when you study them, they've got to be guys you don't have questions about. Like, I would have no problem whatsoever putting guard Marshall Yanda and linebacker Luke Kuechly in on the first ballot to get to that point. But if they have to wait, that's no problem, because we have guys who are very, very worthy who've had to wait a long time. And they're really good, like Eric Allen, the cornerback. He's been a semifinalist 5 times. I think he's deserving. Defensive end Jared Allen, one of the great pass rushers in history, he's been a semifinalist 5 times. I believe that Antonio Gates will be not unanimous, that he'll be in on his second year of eligibility. Because knowing how close he came last year, and I was scared to death that he was going to be a lock, and a receiver like Andre Johnson would be penalized because of Antonio Gates going in, even though he was a tight end. But I'll be stunned if he doesn't make it this year. And at some point, with great receivers, Reggie Wayne and Torrey Holt, who went against Andre Johnson the last 3 years, I believe they'll be in, just not sure when it'll be.
I asked this question, you know, with a ton of respect for you and the committee, but if Eli's last name was Smith, would this be a different conversation?
There's other quarterbacks who've won 2 Super Bowls, Jim Plunkett, for instance, but even though he played great at that time, he was not a consistently great player. And there's going to be a lot of discussion about Eli. But if you think of Eli and Peyton was a no-brainer first ballot Hall of Famer. Eli does not stack up to Peyton. And so that's why I don't think that he'll get in on the first ballot. Don't know how long it'll take him. A player that that I have thought deserves to go in. He is a 9-time semifinalist, but for whatever reason, we don't vote him in. And that is safety Darren Woodson from the Cowboys, who was part of those 3-time Super Bowl champions, who was the last line of defense and a great, consistently great player. But, boy, I feel bad for somebody that keeps getting up to be a semifinalist, getting their hopes up, and then they're a finalist, which means we're discussing them in the room, and then they continually don't make it.
Well, John, I'm also happy for a guy like, and I know he won't get in, but Richmond Webb, you know, backing, you know, Marino, the left side of Marino for his career. I like to see guys like that just get nominated, John, because they were so valuable to football, so valuable to a guy like Dan Marino's career. So I know he probably won't get in, but as a former offensive lineman, he was incredible. And so I'm glad he's nominated.
Joe, it's interesting you bring him up. Richmond Webb is one of the ones who I'm backing because I think he deserves to be in. He was a 7-time Pro Bowler on great teams, didn't win a Super Bowl, but they were great offensively. And it's not like Dan Marino was mobile and he was going to complete a lot of passes on the run, so he had to be protected by his linemen. And the best one definitely was Richmond Webb. This is the first time he's been a semifinalist, and he lives here. And I texted him this morning congratulating him, and I said this is the next step in the process, and we just were putting him into the Texas Sports Hall of Fame in February. And so I pull for a lot of these guys. I'd like to see all of them get in because they're definitely Hall of Fame worthy to get this far. You're right. I don't think Richmond will make the cut to the 15 modern era finalists, but at least people are talking about him now.
Absolutely. A massive, massive guy too as well. All right, John, let's talk a little football here. I watched the Monday night game. I don't think I've seen a team all year have as much fun, John, as the Houston Texans had on Monday night. That they just had a great time. Cowboys are terrible, I get that. But Houston, but that was a fun, fun game for them.
After coming off a loss, which you led Detroit, maybe the best team in the league, by 16 points at halftime, and you intercepted Jared Goff 5 times, and then you lost 26-23 on a 52-yard field goal with no time left. Sometimes coaches worry about lingering effects. And I think it's probably good they were playing the Cowboys because people here get really excited about the Cowboys, know if they're good or they're bad. Last time they played the Cowboys here in 2018, early in the season, both were good, and the Texans beat them in a primetime game. So even though the Cowboys are a wounded team and a wounded organization, it was a big deal. Texans defense played great again. The offense continues to struggle in the second half, even though it scored its first touchdown in 5 games in the second half. We've been killing them over that. And they had a lot of good performances. Joe Mixon, this was something that came up quite a bit. Joe Mixon, and I have no idea why the Bengals wanted to get rid of him. Last year he had 1,401 yards rushing and receiving and 12 touchdowns, but they were going to cut him. And the Texans, DeMeco Ryans and Nick Caserio, the GM, they didn't – Caserio has done a great job. In fact, I'm writing a column tomorrow on HoustonTexans.com on what a great offseason he had with guys like Joe Mixon, Danielle Hunter, who had a great game at defensive end. And so the Cowboys – desperately needed a running back, and they didn't even give Derrick Henry, an agent, a call. Well, Caserio, instead of competing with other teams and driving the price up if he was cut, gave him a 7th-round pick and got him. And then he immediately tore up his contract and gave him a 3-year deal. So
wow.
He was excited to come here. And one reason the Bengals can't win is they can't run the ball. It's interesting because the Giants didn't bring back Saquon Barkley, who's playing great, and they can't run a lick. The Raiders let Josh Jacobs go to Green Bay for money. They can't run a lick. Derrick Henry is running great. Joe Mixon is running great, and all those teams they left are not running as well as they did with them, as you guys well know. So I think there's a lot of good running backs coming out, led by Boise State's Ashton Jennings, and I keep telling people, watch him. I've watched him in three games now. Can't get enough of watching him. And the team that gets him, and I hope it's not the Cowboys, was going to be very, very happy. But I think teams are going to change their mind now based on veteran running backs and based on rookies. It's going to be kind of throwback football, which we're seeing in several cities. And it was fun to see Joe Mixon go up there and play as well as he did. And the Texans end up winning by 24. And the stadium was almost devoid of Cowboy fans at the end. It was all Texans fans, and people love hearing that. And that Troy Aikman kept talking about all the Texans fans there, which they thought was pretty cool.
We'll have more with John McClain coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Continuing our conversation with John McClain, HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work, presented by 12 Stones Crossing Golf Club in Goodlettsville. Visit 12stonesgolfclub.com to book your tee time. Experience golf the 12 Stones way. John joining us now. Yeah, so continuing on that game Monday night, are the Cowboys, is Jerry just in denial now of how bad his football team is?
I think what's weird is they should be, they know what Cooper Rush can do. He was 4-1 as a starter two or three seasons ago when Dak Prescott was out. He threw for, even though the Texans beat him up big time in the second half, he still hung in there. He completes a lot of passes. They know what he can do as a backup. I don't understand why you give a fourth-round pick for Trey Lance, but you're not playing him. This is the time to play him, because if he plays and plays well, you got it on tape, and it's going to be a bad year for teams trying to get quarterbacks, a bad off season. So if Trey Lance plays well, a team may say, well, we had him rated high coming out of college, and he looked good. Let's give him the draft choice, and you might get like a three. But they're not going to. That's not going to happen if you don't play him. So I think they're making a big mistake on that. We all knew they made a huge mistake on their running game. They've been awful at home. Right now, they're on a pace to break the record for average points allowed at home. The previous record of 37-something was by the 1960 Cowboys in their first season. So they're being historically bad at home. And remember one point, remember when Dak Prescott threw the winning touchdown pass at Pittsburgh and they were 3-3 and looked like they're going to make a run for the division title? And then they've just gone down the toilet for a lot of reasons. Injuries have a lot to do with it, of course, but they were not playing well when Prescott was healthy.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how now, that'll.
Hey, excuse me, something. I got to add something I just thought of. And this was, several people told me this that were covering the game. I didn't see it. But in the pregame warmups, you know, when players come out at first, offense or defense, and there's not full teams on the field for warmups, you'll see players going over, taking pictures with fans and doing that. But when the Cowboys were out there, they said that you saw guys like Micah Parsons, Trayvon Diggs, and CeeDee Lamb over signing autographs and posing for pictures, which is great. But you're supposed to be getting ready for the game when the whole team's out there. And I can't believe Mike Zimmer let it go, the defensive coordinator. Mike McCarthy knows he's gone. And, you know, a guy like Mike Vrabel wouldn't put up with that. Bill Belichick wouldn't put up with that. So the key now is, will Jerry go after a former coach like Belichick or Vrabel? Will he try to get a coordinator, a hot coordinator? Anybody coming in there knows you're going to have Dak Prescott as your quarterback. I've seen people say, well, you should hire Deion Sanders and he can get his son as the quarterback. No, you can't. You're just stuck with Dak in that contract.
I know. Is Mike Vrabel's stock as high as we say it is? Like, in reality, do you think that the owners and the teams look at him the way we do?
I think the way that the spending this year out, even though he's an advisor in Cleveland, when you look at head coaching candidates and you think about what Mike did with the Titans and how they were capable of winning almost any game, even though they would lose more than they won, in the end, they were capable of winning big games like that last one at Jacksonville that cost the Jaguars a division title and gave the Texans a division title. And they had nothing to play for. Mike got it. Jaguars had everything to play for. And so I think, yes, I think his stock is up. You know, just because he didn't get a job last year didn't mean he was offered one. Also didn't mean he turned somebody down.
Yeah, it's a good point. Talking to John McClain here on the Chasing Big Joe Show. John, a team that seems to be peaking right now, playing great football, and of course we saw it on Sunday beating the Chiefs, the Buffalo Bills. What are they doing so well? Because, John, not a lot of people are talking about the Bills right now, but what are they doing so well to make them 9-2?
Well, I'll tell you something very interesting. I'm charting this about the Texans defense for a column I'm writing Friday on HoustonTexans.com. The Texans beat the Bills here, and it was on it was in early October, and Josh Allen completed 30% of his passes. Ooh. 9 of 30 for 131 yards, and his rating was 56.4. He only was sacked once. He had no interceptions. He just didn't play well, and they haven't lost since. And they almost always beat the Chiefs in regular season. And then the Chiefs beat them in the playoffs. So right now, that game I just saw drew great ratings, 31 million. Ooh. For an afternoon game. Can you imagine what it would have been had it been Sunday night? Mm. And so I think they're destined to play again in the playoffs. And right now, it only looks to me like there's three teams capable of winning the Super Bowl, unless somebody is a big surprise. That would be Detroit and Buffalo or Kansas City. I've given up on Baltimore because its defense is not good. And we know how Lamar Jackson plays in the playoffs. And I picked them to win the Super Bowl a second consecutive year. But the Bills and the Chiefs, it looks like, are headed for the championship game. And it looks like Detroit is going to roll over everybody in the NFC. So I think we'll see them play again, and they're going to get more and more attention as they continue to win.
What about the Eagles, John? I mean, they're quietly 8-2, and nobody's really talking about them. That defense is playing really good for them.
It is, and they're taking control of the NFC East over Washington, which has lost the last two. Now everybody's talking about Denver's Bo Nix going to beat out Jaden Daniels, the early favorite for Offensive Rookie of the Year. That remains to be seen because we have so many games left. But there's something about Jalen Hurts and big games, and even though Saquon Barkley is playing great, maybe if – I don't think it matters where the Lions are playing. If I had to pick a team that was second best in the NFC, it would be Philadelphia. But right now, when I watch them, I just don't see a Super Bowl team that's going to beat Detroit to get there.
Well, John, I'm going to make this prediction right now. Danico Autry has 3 sacks on the season. I think he doubles that on Sunday against his former team. So just look for that.
Well, you know, he was suspended for the first 6 games. He came back for the 7th, needed a game to get ready, and he has been a force in the last 2 games. He should have had credit for another sack when he hit the quarterback, but they called it an interception that he forced. So he's been playing really well. The Texans were missing Will Anderson Jr., cornerback Kamari Lassiter, who's been outstanding, and a starting defensive tackle, Foley Fotokasa, against the Cowboys, and it didn't make a difference. They liked to rush Will Anderson Jr., Danielle Hunter, and Danico Autry in all passing situations. And Hunter, according to Next Gen Stats, leads the NFL in pressures by 15. Number 2, Ted Hendrickson. Hendrickson from the Bengals is number 2, and Hunter is coming off a great game against the Cowboys with two sacks, three tackles for loss, two deflections, three quarterback hits. So he did all that without Will Anderson playing across from him.
It's going to be interesting for sure on Sunday. John, enjoy this as always. Enjoyed this as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Chase and Big Joe, thank you guys very much as always.
Awesome. That is John McClain joining us from Houston. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work, and obviously timely this week. We'll have Derek Mason, coach of MTSU, coming up next here on Chase and Big Joe. You can join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek in our Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Madison this Sunday for the pregame show from 9:30 to 11:30 as they get you set for the Titans Week 12 matchup against the Houston Texans. The pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon.